his computer. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Sync meeting for June 7th, 2017. We have with us all folks who are pony committers. No non-committers today. That's very sad, but everybody does have their lives and runs about and does things and whatnot. Today, we're going to get started with RFC number 91, which is send arbitrary messages to notify classes. It was opened by me, and then 4 days ago, Joe had a very good alternative idea for something to do, and I think it would be good for us to go over that, and then hopefully by the time this conversation is done, my RFC gets closed and Joe opens a new one for his better idea. So if everyone could take a moment to read Joe's idea, and I will refamiliarize myself with it real quick, and then we can go over it. In the meantime, everybody listening can have dead air.
I just read it, so I'll start talking while other people are reading, if that's okay.
Do it.
This is very good. That's it. That's really all I have to say.
That was my response after reading it too.
There is one thing that's going to be a pain, which is the constructor on TCP connection is going to want an N ISO.
Oh yeah, I ran into this the other day with a different case where I wanted to construct like a string ref or something I wanted to pass in ref as the type parameter, and I wanted to use type parameter ISO within the body.
And you should absolutely be allowed to. And the issue right now is that the only thing stopping us from doing that is deciding what it means if you have N ISO, but N is bound to an algebraic type, right? It could be a complex algebraic type of unions and intersections or whatever, or even tuples once we fix the any stuff, right? Like what is that coming out to? So if you say it's an ISO one of those, what the heck do you mean? I suspect the answer is you mean to force that reference capability on all components of the algebraic type. That makes sense?
Yeah. So in the case of tuples,
tuples are a pain because in one sense we want to treat all the fields individually, and in another sense we'd like to have the tuple as a whole simply be a type, but then every tuple would have to have a reference capability of its own in addition to its component reference capability.
So okay, ignoring tuples for a second, thinking about, let's say, an intersection, that seems pretty simple. For an intersection type, it seems pretty obvious that yes, you do want to force ISO on everything in that type.
Yeah. I think the same, it actually turns out to be true of a union type. And at first I thought that wasn't true, but I think that there just isn't anything more sane to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it almost makes sense to have it almost makes sense to have like a transformation like matrix that specifies what happens to a capability when you apply that to it, similar to how we have our viewpoint adaptation matrix.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if I'm not quite sure what that ought to look like.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think about cases where. I was trying to think about stuff like tag and like, should you be able to like shove a tag in there because it's sendable? But no, because you want to type check. I'm backpedaling here. You want to be able to type check the body as if it's ISO.
That capability.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly why I think that just forcing it might be the right solution.
Yeah, it's at least a place to start that should be pretty obviously safe.
Famous last words. Usually yeah. My famous last words.
Well, that's why we have Paul here, right? No.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
We don't have Paul here right now.
Well,
yeah, I know, but
in the general sense, it's why we have project. Paul.
To formalize the type parameters and how they work and find all of these lovely edge cases that he's been uncovering all over the place. But yeah, it seems like something that should be obviously safe. And if we needed to expand it to something more permissive later that we found made sense, we could. But I don't know. I can't think of a use case where I've needed this, where it really needs to get any more complex than just forcing the cap on everything within.
Yeah, I think so too. Almost inevitably where I need it over and over and over again is in the constructor. Where I just want to be able to pass something sendable of the thing and then deal with the thing in the normal way elsewhere. Which, yeah, pretty straightforward.
Okay, so that would need to be a separate RFC. Or I think
there might already be a
surprise. I don't know.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted you there. What was that?
I was just saying, I was trying to figure out whether it'd be a separate, that would be a separate RFC or like principle of least surprise for you should be able to do this.
I think it is principle of least surprise. And okay. I think there may already be an open issue for it.
I think there is. I feel like that I ran into this last fall and we ended up opening an issue for it. And then I did something awful to get around it.
Right.
I don't remember what the awful thing was, but it was awful.
Okay, so I think unless anybody has said otherwise, the end result of this conversation is I'll open a new RFC as Sean has asked with this content. Although again, I'm fine, Sean, if you wanted to just copy this content into your RFC and let it go. But yeah, otherwise I'll make a new RFC and I'll just go ahead and mark it as being in final comment period because it's been discussed.
Yeah.
He's opening an RFC with his much better than Sean idea.
If you're taking notes, can you also note in that comment that this idea that is better will also require that compiler chain? Require being able to set to specify a capability on a type parameter reference?
Chose idea requires the, I'm 99.9% certain that there's an issue for that already. Opened by me. Hold on.
You know, we could get around that, but it would be a little bit hoopy. We could demand that the TCP connection notify be constructible, and instead of passing one in, we instantiate one.
Then you have to have like some people might want to pass arguments in, right?
Yeah, then you need a builder.
Yeah, you would.
Trust me, our code base is filled with this. You don't because we've been working around that. You don't want to do that.
Okay.
I mean, you can, but oh,
of course you can, right? Like, I made a lambda, right? Like, it does everything I need it to. Not so good.
It's got an explosion of classes. I wonder if Sylvan opened that one. I can't find the issue, Sylvan.
Oh,
I don't remember a ticket for it. I'm also not sure what to search for, but we can look for it asynchronously, probably.
Okay.
And damn it! Now, crap. Jose requires a compiler change to allow reference capability on type parameter, right?
Yeah.
Type parameter. Yes. Remember when I tried to do that, Sylvan?
I did.
And you know what it told me? Piss off. And then I had to, and then I went to you. I'm like, look at my code that works just fine. Now I want to make it generic. Watch Pony tell me to piss off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cannot specify a cap on a type parameter. Yep.
Yep. That one. Oh, that one, that one, that one. I hate that one. All right.
Which you respond, can't or won't.
That's a won't. I will not let you. Oh my God, that one made me so angry at Pony. I was just like, come on. That's one of those ones that makes me angry enough that I start thinking about Pony as though it's a thing that's alive, that has its own like sentience and whatnot.
A horse that needs flogging.
That's awesome.
I thought it was funny, but then I have no taste.
Oh, look, there's now a thing that says insights in GitHub. So real quickly, going to RFC 90, what were we going to do with that? Do we want to open a new RFC with Gordon's idea? Do we want to, Joe, do you want to update yours? What do you think the right path forward with 90 is?
I think we discussed on the last sync call that this can be done without the RFC, so I'm just going to close it. I'll close it right now and just leave that comment.
Okay. All right.
All right, because we do it at CodeGen and it's invisible to the user.
Yep.
It just makes their previously slow code better.
Yeah, and there were some other components to it. What we talked about, like improvements we want to make in the future, but those don't have to be part of this.
Yeah. Oh my God, Benoit's been busy. I just went to the pull request. That's where we'll be heading next, and we have several Benoits on here.
There is only one Benoit.
Yeah, it's mostly well, Paul has been has uncovered a lot of bugs in identity comparison. A lot of my bugs.
Yep. So 1951 is our first one here.
That one isn't ready.
That one isn't ready.
Yeah, okay. I still have to update something based on Paul's comment.
Okay. How about
do not merge on that?
How about 1948?
I think that one is fine.
Oh, that's a different thing. Nicely done.
Yes, that's why it's got a different number.
No. I mean, it's not related to the identity stuff.
You mean Paul didn't find it?
Okay, fine.
Is that what you mean by different stuff? Paul, the amazing human bug finder, boom, incorrectness monster. So
1948 is merge, right?
I'm not the compiler person. I'm the runtime person, so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, 1948 is merge.
Yeah, I would have merged if it weren't for that one little nitpicky space thing.
All right, merged. Dun dun dun. How about 1946?
How about 47? Is 1947 ready?
I don't know what you're talking about with 1947. Oh, I missed that one. 1947. Good.
No, not yet.
Okay.
1946.
That one should be good to go. I only approved it instead of merging because the CI wasn't done yet.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. Erase and merge, boom, boom. Okay.
By the way, like if you're a committer on Pony, and I think if somebody else approves your PR instead of merging it because the CI is not done yet, I think it should be fair game for you to just go ahead and merge it yourself
Definitely.
I do that all the time. All of these took me by surprise. I don't know. I wasn't looking or paying attention. I hadn't noticed things being approved and whatnot. So I'm opening them just now. 1944.
Oh, very interesting.
It should be good if it's okay to you. And just for the record, I think we will be able to revert those changes once we have the Pony in Pony compiler.
Cool. Why is that? How can you explain that?
It's because, well, for the allocations, it's because we will be allocating Pony objects from Pony code, so using Pony alloc will be fine. And for the exception stuff, it's because Pony code can catch Pony exceptions, but C code cannot catch them.
Okay.
Very interesting. Cool. Yeah, let's merge that one.
Done. It's Benoit Day. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so what do we have here? Do not merge, do not merge. Okay, here's one to discuss. Let's see.
Can I have a quick question on 1939?
Well, okay. So can we discuss 1939? That's what I was about to say.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. That was next up. Yes, go.
I'm a little bit confused as to, it says don't use LVM toolchain, but it seems to be this is purely a Travis fix.
So, well, we build the binary packages on Travis, right?
Yeah.
And they're shared libraries. So it's expecting, you know, the wonderful fun of how shared libraries work, right? Where it's expecting it to be, you know, this specific library naming that goes along with how it gets involved from this or that. Because, you know, shared libraries are, well, they're all of the things that shared libraries have for goodness and awfulness.
Yep.
So I do know that the Debian packages, like there are a couple issues open where the Debian packages just straight up crash. Like when you try to do anything with the Pony compiler, like build Hello World or anything else. I don't think I've gotten a backtrace from anybody where I've been triaging the issues with them yet.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what's going on with those. When those folks build, I asked one person to build from source, right? Uh-huh. So that we could get a debug version of the compiler so that we'd be able to see maybe what's going on in the runtime and everything else. But then the problem goes away when they build from source on their machine. So
exciting.
So yeah, I don't know.
So it seems like the main change that's being made here is that at one point we didn't have 3.9 available from the package manager, and now it's available, so we can just use the one from the package manager. Is that the gist?
I'm not sure. So this removes using the LLVM toolchain trusty 3.9.
Yes, it's still downloading from LLVM.org.
Yeah.
Because it's using the download LLVM function, but the change is the change is that we're not using the system installed LLVM. Is that correct?
it says don't use LLVM toolchain from apt-llvm.org. So not the one from their app.
Okay.
But we're using the download. Okay.
Oh yeah, that seems totally fine, and it cleans up the thing. So that
I finally get it. Thank you.
Yeah, it took me That's honestly like the fifth time that I looked at it, and I think this is the first time I wasn't completely exhausted, and it finally made sense with what was going on.
Yeah, we're downloading by just downloading the binaries instead of downloading from apps. So.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Let's merge it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rebase and merge. Confirm. Boom. Boom. Okay. I would say maybe that deserves a release, but if somebody else wants to do one, they can. I don't have time this weekend. I have to do slides for a talk. So let's see. Could that close that? Thanks. It's Matthias. Awesome. let's see. That's a do not merge. That's a blocked. Carl's not done. Okay, so we have some, let's see, what do we have, which is, let's see, is there anything on this? Boom, hold on. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Eventually we need to come back to 1575. That would be, let me go drop that over here for conversation. Okay, let's see this one. Oh, okay, this is a, this is one which Benoit asked a question about a long time ago and we don't seem to have done anything with. 1752.
Oh, right.
And Benoit added a label on it for discussion during Sync 7 days ago.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, Benoit. We let this slide. My fault.
Oh, no problem. So, this one is... this is the thread subtyping algorithm. So, I asked on the LLVM mailing list about the problem with the switch on pointers.
Right.
So basically it's not possible because of various problems with LLVM constants.
Okay.
So As somebody on the list suggested, one possibility would be to generate a binary search ourselves.
Right.
But I'm not sure if it's be. My question is: do we want to explore this solution, or? Is this algorithm fine?
Let's go with what you have because we have it. And if we want to come back to this and because we're seeing blowups in binary size because we're effectively generating that full matrix, then we'll come back and look at it as a binary search problem and deal with it then. We might want to do that in the context of eventually switching to perfect hashing for vtables and possibly taking advantage of that kind of approach for this as well anyway. So let's go with what you have. Does that sound good?
Yeah, okay. So apparently there is a conflict with the PR. So I'll update and merge.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. Alrighty, I'm going to remove the needs discussion during sync. Boom. Okay. What else do we have that needs discussion during sync? We have this one, one from May 4th. Let's see here. 1888. The last thing on here was, did we ever get, was this taken care of? Did we ever get Sylvan's thoughts on 1887? I believe we did, right? This, I think this is good now. I think we're, Joe, do you think we're up to date now on this, and the needs discussion during sync can be removed from 1888?
1888, let me just check it. I don't know. I don't know that this did ever get discussed.
Yeah, we did, and it turns out that
I wasn't present. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it turns out you really can just replace ISO and TRAN by REF.
Right. We did go up. That's right.
Yeah.
Can you just drop a note for that so we? I removed the label.
Yes.
Right? And so then it's just a.
Yeah, my main concern was just that at the time we were discussing this, Paul didn't seem familiar with the.
Paul left a note on 1887 to that effect. Yeah, so good. So is this ready to?
Just to step back a second, my main concern is that 1887, Paul was saying that basically like these, that we have unsafe things allowed now.
The decay that he has as a workaround for 1887, decay ISO references, array ISO reference to array ref. Oh, it's just for, is it just for array? What is the? Oh, I see. Never mind. Never mind. I thought he was making the compiler change. I agree with your concerns. We should actually fix 1887. And we shouldn't merge the code that works around 1887, but rather do the change. You're absolutely right, Joe.
So 1888 needs a do not merge on it?
Yeah, and...
Because otherwise it looks like it's mergeable. Somebody might end up merging it.
Yeah, so we can say it's blocked by 1887. Is that correct? Because I wasn't on the call when you guys discussed the solution to 1887, but it sounds like you guys came up with another approach that was not in the original three possible solutions that Paul presented. Like, you came up with another approach that is more flexible. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, it's just simply it's. It's just simpler.
Yeah, I don't need to understand it necessarily. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so 1887 has a fix that needs to be done before we merge 1888.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, next. Are we on to our next one? Okay.
Yeah.
I was responding to a work Slack message and lost track of things there for a moment. Sorry. When the founder pings you and you notice, you sometimes respond. okay. Theo, how's that style guide coming? I don't really know what's going on at this point from the, what's the word I'm looking for? PR. That's the word I'm looking for. It's not even a word.
Well, I've mostly just been going through the standard library, applying all the changes until, well, at least while I wait for further discussion on certain things. I believe the only thing left for discussion is the whole open and close array brackets thing.
Oh, okay. That's the first one that was commented, right? The syntax for multi-line arrays?
Yeah.
And I think separately from that, or at least I consider it to be a separate question, is the having the end of a lambda or a multi-line lambda be on a separate line or on the same line.
Oh, I actually ended up agreeing with you on that, and I made that change.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's easy. Okay.
So, Sylvan, the one that really comes down to seems to be is the one where you prefer the one in the guide for the multi-line arrays versus the Joe style.
Trying to find the guide Joe so style. That I know what I'm
looking at. Yeah, I need to go look too, because goodness gracious. Where is that one? Multi-line arrays.
Is there a rendered link, or should I just go through it?
Here, let me try linking you to. I'm gonna send you a thing. Here, I sent it to you on Slack.
Thank you.
That.
Very kind.
That would take you to what we're discussing. Here, I'll drop it in for anybody who's on the Zoom call. I'll put it in the Zoom chat here in case anybody also needs help getting to that. I certainly, yes.
So line 191?
Line 191 and 198. I, by the way, have switched sides, and I like what's in the guide better than Joe's style now.
Yeah.
Traitor.
Good.
Sorry. I don't know. Like, look, 99% of style things I don't really care about. Whichever day you happen to ask me on, it's going to change. All I care is that it's consistent.
All right. Well, keep it as do not merge until you change your mind again. No. No, I mean.
Soon we shall all be inhabiting green spaces. Yeah.
I'm not going to fight too hard on this.
I kind of am. It drives me crazy to have that bracket way out there when there's just no need to do that.
Yeah, it's okay. We can specify this as the standard library style. Although I don't think I'm going to adopt it in anything I'm working on.
And that's completely fine. This is only for the standard library.
I realized when I was looking, I was like, normally I like the way where you go out to your first thing where you break, right? But then when I actually looked at it, I was like, wow, what Theo put in the guide is so much easier for me to read and scan and know what the hell is going on quickly. And that was when I switched.
Yeah. So, we'll deal with the, with style of the Pony compiler and Pony later, but,
Oh boy.
No, this is fine. Says the dog in the burning house. No, I mean,
ouch. So one of the things, so I left a comment in there a while ago about how ML derived languages, and for all object oriented programmers listening to this call in the future, Pony totally isn't an ML. For all functional programmers, Pony is kind of an ML, and it would drive me crazy to have a style that was so non-ML? I don't know. I mean, I know Pony is not actually white space sensitive, so it's okay. We can do either. It's all fine. Like, in an ML language, you literally can't do this because it's white space sensitive. And you have to do the style that's in the style guide currently.
Yeah, I don't want to hold things up any more than I already have. So,
so you're saying I should introduce an ROC to make it white space sensitive? I hear what you're saying, Sylvan. Okay.
Yeah, you just go ahead and do that.
I actually considered that at one point and then decided that would be a waste of every time.
It would be an excellent troll, though, because everyone would get upset about it. In both directions.
I like white space sensitive, personally.
Oh, see? I would be so mad.
See?
Cat. Pigeons. Hello.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I could kind of enjoy Pony as like a CoffeeScript-ish language, but their eyes are lighting up with fire right now.
By the way, Joe, you know that this is Fine Dog. Did you know they make plushies for that now?
I was not aware. But anyway, yeah, let's if that's the only remaining concern, then let's just call it finalized.
Cool.
So here, Joe, real quick, have a look.
See, oh my God, he has it.
There you go.
Here we go.
That's awesome.
But The thing is, you can't like stage the scene unless you're willing to give up your plushie because it would burn up shortly after taking the
work. Well,
so worth it. So worth it.
But yes, there we go. Okay. For everybody who wasn't watching, that was the video went on and I showed the plushie. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. So I'll just finish up doing all the formatting in the standard library, and then I think it's ready to merge.
Wow.
Cool.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Once I finish doing that, since I'm probably like 2/3 of the way through.
Fair enough.
Oh, there was one other thing that I wanted to talk about. Yeah, I guess, so one thing that I saw when you were doing the changes to the standard library that I didn't necessarily think as being part of the style guide, but I see now looking back at it how they were there, but I noticed that all functions that span more than one line with their parameter signature are being, you know, made to be one parameter per line, which is, I can understand the reasons for that, and it kind of looks cleaner, but it's just not something I was used to. I was wondering, is everybody else okay with that too?
Going to the one parameter per line thing?
Yeah, for things that can't fit on a single line. Instead of doing like wrapping like we do for arguments where you do as many as can fit on one line, then you indent and do as many as can fit on the next line and so on.
Yeah. That's me that was doing trailing them out like with arguments. I think there's a really strong argument that I was wrong. Argument, maybe it was not the right term to use there, but there you go.
A really strong parameter that you were wrong.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Wow, that was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. Anyway, I think there are cases where I prefer it all on one line, but I think in the scheme of things, it is better to actually trail them out one per line like that. It's clearer. It wasn't what I was thinking, but I think it's right.
Yeah, I mean, myself personally, like the succinctness part of me, and just like being able to fit more information in a single screenful, it makes me want to compress it. But when I actually need to read the parameter signature. You know, I think it does make more sense to have it separated because it really breaks up the elements in a way that is nice.
I feel the same way.
It also makes it so much nicer when you're scanning diffs.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point.
Yeah, all of these are things I've learned over the course of time, despite the fact that I have some sort of visceral hatred for when they're spread out line after line after line. Yet I find it to be so alluring in many other ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess the only other thing to mention is that it seems like that would also apply to type parameters if you had a bunch of type parameters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't come across any example of that happening, so I couldn't really visualize it in any good way.
I think I've got one, but I'll search through my code base and see if I can find it again.
I mean, there are always going to be things that's just like, you know, leave it up to your best judgment.
Right.
Under those circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, okay. I just wanted to bring that up for discussion. Looks good.
Cool. Happy.
So before we go into issues, which we have, we are past the open for general discussion time. So does anybody have anything that they would like to bring up or go over or anything else of that sort? Nope. Alrighty then. Let's take a look at, we got a couple issues here.
Okay. Oh, real quick, Sylvan, on 1894, GitHub is still saying that you have requested changes. So if you're good, then you should.
Oh, I'm so sorry. 1894.
The one we just talked about. It's all good.
Yeah. Thank you.
To make things clear.
Benoit, did you open the LLVM report for 1188? 1186?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay. I'll remind you again, and you should drop it on there, and I'll leave the needs discussion for sync, and I'll bug you again next time.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Let's see. What's this one here? So I believe...
Sorry. Funnily enough, there is something in there that still needs a change. I was going to mark off that it doesn't. There's a code block where some things aren't indented that need indentation.
Oh, where is that?
It's in lines 34 to 66.
Hold on, let me pull it up. 34. Oh, yeah, you're right. All right, I'll do that.
Cool.
Okay. 1513. That should probably be fixed with the tuple changes that are coming for... Okay. So we never actually went back over this again. I see this now. On April 12th, we had the seg fault. Sylvan, you said you didn't think that 1513 was was related to tuples, and that we needed to revisit it at some point.
My apologies. I do not remember looking now.
That's okay. I was reading through it now, and I saw the thing about, tuples, blah, blah, blah. And I said, this should be fixed with tuples. And I read the last thing from when we discussed it back in April. And no, apparently it's, you don't think it's tuple related. You said you were going to be looking at it.
Did I?
Okay. So I'll assume you didn't, right?
I have a funny feeling I did because I've got this in my Scratch buffer.
Oh, okay.
Stuff that I work on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any notes to go with it. So whatever I did is unfortunately lost to the mists of time.
Okay. When you get a chance, and I'll leave it as news discussion for sync, and we can go over it again another time. Right?
Cool. Yeah.
Let's see here. What's this one, which is tagged? Oh, wow. Okay, this one we haven't really done anything with. 1576, where, and then somebody says it looks like what was described in 1186 by Benoit. So I guess the question is this the same thing?
It looks like it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Petronius.
Which?
Which issue am I talking about? What you said, which? So
For 1186, actually, good to ask. Is there a LVM bug report now?
No, not yet. That's what I'd asked Benoit about earlier.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It's hard to keep a full attention span for an hour. We all drift off.
I was paying attention. I just forgot.
We all drift off every now and then. So yeah, so there'll be a bug report for that, and I'm going to say it agrees that it looks like that. I'm going to remove the needs comp discussion during sync, and we can come back to that at some point further. Here's a fun one. 1930.
Oh my. In terms of can you detect and warn about the problem? No. Actually, I think with optimizations, even if you did something a little bit more useful, you'd get tail call optimization. I don't think this is a bug. I'm a little bit confused.
I'm not sure how we would detect this, right? And I'm not sure. I mean, it's only a bug if it.
The only way to detect this is so. it's very interesting because the bug reporter has quite brilliantly actually nailed an extraordinarily hard CS problem, and well done, really. So what's happening here is it's running out of stacks. It's not smashing the stack. It says stack smashing detected, but that's not what's happening. It's just running out of stack, and the reason is that optimizations aren't enabled, and if optimizations were enabled, then we would get tail call optimization because this is a tail call, and it would just loop forever. Except that LLVM can actually detect that it would loop forever without doing anything, and so that's where it produces an undefined value. All of that is fun. If you were doing something and you couldn't have a tail call, then indeed it's going to just run out of stack space, and that's. Some people have tried to solve that by doing things like segmented stacks, but all that does is say, well, I'll run out of stack space when I run out of all memory on the box. So the only way to fix this is by proving that a function doesn't diverge, that is to say that it terminates, and requiring functions to prove that they terminate. Because, of course, you can do this trivially, the equivalent of infinite tail call recursion with a while loop, while true. And they're equivalent. It turns out while true and infinite tail recursion are the exact same problem. Proving termination is of course, incredibly interesting to my computer scientist brain, but not really what we're up to. There are languages, of course, that do that, like Daphne and F-Star, and probably some languages that weren't designed at Microsoft Research as well. Sorry about that. But it's not really what we're doing at this point with Pony, that kind of formal verification. Don't get me wrong. In the future, there's interesting things with contracts and assertions that I'd love to do that starts moving the direction of bits and pieces of formal verification. But this actually is not a bug, strangely, because it's... it's clearly not the right thing for a programming language to do, but it's unfortunately not a bug.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know. I feel like a comment to summarize everything, and we close this is because it's not a bug, and there's no actionable thing here at this point right now, unless we're
actually there are some deeper problems with it. So okay. I left some rows of text on the issue some time ago. So maybe I don't think we'll have time to fully discuss all of these things today. So maybe if you could go over it and leave a comment. So there are some things with what we want a crash to mean. Mm. Well, that's a bad summary, but
okay. But that's not really a bad summary. I think that's interesting because what does a crash mean in Pony is a very different question from some languages. So I think that's a really good place to start.
All right, so I'm going to leave that as marked for we can go over again. We got one more. 1935, which was opened by Paul and tagged as needs discussion during sync. Do we want to hold this? Well, he said he probably wasn't going to be around next week either. So I would say if there's anything that we can drop on this now, we could continue async conversation on it.
What's the number?
1935. Yeah, I saw this and it sounds like a good thing to do to me, although
no, this can never be done. It will just well, I don't know. I'm willing to be convinced otherwise. But actually box ephemeral is not a meaningless type. It's a result of generic programming. I don't really think that this is feasible to do to treat it this way in the presence of generics. He sort of touches on that with X hat and X bang. But it really is about type parameter references that can have many possible capabilities, and not referring to one is important because it means whatever you're bound to.
So, Sylvan,
actually, it gets even more than that because you get things like a type alias for a complex algebraic type. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do.
So just going back to box ephemeral and how it relates to generics, as a counterpoint, couldn't you just say that when you evaluate a type parameter, let's say A, it's A ephemeral, and it turns out to be when you're reifying it that A is something box, couldn't you just say that if it's not ISO or TRAN when it gets evaluated, then the ephemerality is discarded at that point.
What was it before you did that?
Well, it was a gen cap with an ephemerality. Like okay. PK read ephemeral or something.
I don't think that's a very good idea. I don't understand why we want to create all these extra tokens rather than having two tokens that completely expresses the idea. Actually, I would go the other direction, which is to turn the capabilities into sets and eliminate the hash capabilities as internal representations, maybe even external, I don't know, maybe even in the source, and say that constraints are expressed by having a set that more directly maps to what it really is, which is a union type over a collection of capabilities, and represent that as an entire set of pairs of capability and ephemerality. And then people could be incredibly specific about types that they wanted to allow binding to if they wanted to. I'm not sure if we want that at the source level, but at the that would possibly be simpler to use those sets internally.
Well, actually, this is kind of a tangent, but okay. Something that's come up when using if type is that there are cases where I mean that a constraint should be like either A or B, but that's not what I'm expressing that in the source right now as like a union of A and B. But that's not really what I'm trying to express because I don't want to accept, the union of A and B as a type argument to that. So it's interesting to think about that in the context of what you were saying of having sets as a concept that the user might want to invoke.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good point. Yeah, constraint.
Because I could have an exhaustive set of like, if I can treat if type A I should use A, B, and C. If type A is a subtype of B is a branch, and if type A is a subtype of C is a branch. But then I don't want to have to handle the case where A is neither of those. It's actually the union B or C that was reified there.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because then you don't know which one it was. Thank you very much. And now you're back to pattern matching. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Anyway, yeah, it'd be interesting just to hear what Paul says to your points, and we'll kind of go from there on this.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's something I'm missing about his proposal here.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess the core problem that he's getting at is just making sure that ephemerality gets handled correctly throughout the compiler, and that
which I have a lot of sympathy for.
Yeah, right. Like you said, so this is one proposal for how to make sure that happens. There may be other proposals that make sense.
Yeah.
Like for example, rather than treating them as being, like. Maybe like everywhere where we're using a cap and an ephemeral in the AST, like for example, like the TK nominal node has a cap and it has an ephemerality as separate like children. Maybe what we want to do is like structure it so that the cap and ephemerality are like it's like a cap F pair that. And everywhere where you're passing around the cap and ephemerality now, you'd be passing around that pair, which is a separate child. It's like its own child node with two children of its own.
Right.
To make sure you don't ever forget that it's a pair that goes together.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we're at our time, so.
Okay.
One more thing I want to mention before we stop is I'm making progress on the Pony compiler in Pony. Started in on the initial draft of the syntax pass that that evaluates the AST for things we don't want to allow beyond the parser. So it's getting interesting, and if anybody is interested, please watch my Pony CC repo under GenC.
Excellent.
All righty. So that we have a couple other things, but we're at the end of our time, so we can always get those other things next time. All right. Sound good? Anybody other than Joe have any last minute comments?
Well, I only get one.
You only get one? Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. I phrased that poorly.
No, I don't have any others.
I assumed that you'd said your entire piece, and that was unfair and potentially untrue. But you don't, so there we go. You're just getting amped up by the green space and giving me a hard time now. All right. Thanks for coming, everyone. See you next week. Have a